The Breakfast Club.
Scotty Gallen, good morning.
Good morning, Andrew. Wonderful to be here.
How was your Monday? Was it better than Travis Olds and Gillon McLaughlin?
Yeah, the world changed. Well, it usually changes when we get back on the airways, but it changed even when we got off the airways,
Andrew.
Oh,
boy.
And I was driving down to my God's country, and yeah, the AFL world got flipped on its head.
Oh, it was unbelievable to think, I mean, it wasn't out of the question, but for it to actually happen where we're changing fixtures 5-6 days before the games, well, 3 or 4 days before the games as well, amazing.
To his credit, I mean, Gil has you know, the new lingo, agile and pivot and all these trendy words, but he has been banging on about that from day one, and he almost had a bit of a smile on his face. I thought it was like, hey, I warned you, and look at me. I've just gone bang, 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 and flipped everything around. And it's quite impressive. And I don't think he was joking when he said, this is a daily thing. I'm going to be playing Mr. Pivot, Mr. Agile.
Yeah.
But it's a credit, not credit to the clubs. I mean, the clubs are embracing it. You know, like Carlton St Kilda, for example, it's gone from, what, 7-day break to a 5-day break. Carlton have given up their home ground, inverted commas, to go to St Kilda's home ground, which is a pretty significant advantage. So I think they get it. But I think the weeks to come, that's where we potentially might not have anything going on here and could have all little hubs. I mean, Sydney's looming good because they're letting us in. We've got to find places
helps.
Where we're allowed to go. So Sydney's looming as a... Yeah, I think there'll be clubs flying in and out of there, having a couple of week stints.
What did you think yesterday when you were driving down to God's Country and you heard the announcement? What was your initial reaction? Oh, because Half and Whitey's spoken a lot about this, and Whitey's wavered a little over the last 3 months as to whether it's just all too hard, and then he gets excited again, and then it gets too hard.
A lot of things way too hard for a leader.
I did think to myself yesterday, for a fleeting moment, I
really?
Just thought, is it always too hard? Is it all too hard?
No, I'm embracing this is an asterisk season. It's a bit of a journey. It's a fun ride that's going to go to weird spots. I mean, the games are going to weird spots each week. We get, you know, served up some rubbish, and then you get a couple of really close ones that sucks you in again. I mean, the bottom line is broadcast rights, TV, they have to play. I mean,
yeah.
And people are watching. I mean, even though we're whinging about the state of the game, people are tuning in because they've been hanging out for it. So I think they'll just keep... This will be the norm. This is the new norm. There's another little trendy saying that's become in vogue. There you go. In the last few weeks. So I quite like it. I think it's sort of kind of exciting that things get thrown around a dartboard. But it'd be great to see how many whiteboards they've got.
I
love a whiteboard, but they must have... like kilometres of whiteboards in there.
Can you imagine how big the whiteboard would have to be to fit on all the contingency plans?
And you'd have to have a little whiteboard saying, oh, you know, who's been screwed over this? You know, so in 2 months, we'll make sure they get something nice. Look, because you've got to register who's been nice, who's been bad. And, you know, like the Gold Coast has had a great run. So they've won all their games sitting up there. So they need to cop a bit later on. Like, that's how they have to look at this.
What if we get to round 15 and we realise that Carlton are going to play all their games against said opposition, and then Collingwood have 3 games where they've got to go to 3 different states and play in 3 different hubs? What happens then?
Well, I think that's just the pivoting. It's just, I think everyone...
Could take 6 weeks to finish the last 2 games.
Well,
got to quarantine.
That's the only, the fly in the ointment is the quarantine, isn't it?
It will be... interesting to see how it is. I was talking to a family member last night who drove to Queensland, where no one's allowed in. They live in Sydney.
Okay.
And because I thought, and my uncle was stressing out, he was thinking, like, this is literally going from East Berlin to West Berlin. Like, they're never going to let us in, blah, blah, blah. We got to, you know, I thought he was going to go in under some sort of disguise. It was unbelievable. But then they got to the border, and all you got to do is print off a sheet online, say, tick 2 boxes to say, where am I going? Why am I going there? Have I been in contact with anyone with COVID? Tick the boxes. You stick the piece of paper on your dashboard. Bloke comes up, temperature checks you. Yep, you're sweet, go in. So exactly, strict border control.
Am I naive? Surely there's roads you can avoid the border control.
Well, clearly. Yeah, they were just going the normal freeway.
Normal freeway, okay. Yep.
Whatever that freeway is.
A bit of
is.
Paper and a temperature
check. That's all
check.
It is, yeah, and a temperature check. But then we're told with the temperature checks, you might be asymptomatic, so you might have it anyway without a temperature, drive through and then take it. So it's a difficult thing to control.
No, I know, but I mean, anti-Victoria is the way at the moment, hopefully.
Haven't they all jumped on board that? They hate us.
Well, hopefully. I mean, it would take, you know, we just need 2 weeks of things under control here, which I don't know whether that's going to happen, and then things will, you know, Queensland will open up again and we'll be, Gill will be able to pivot again.
I know the boys have said this time and time again, but yesterday's events just show you how good a job the racing industry has done over the last 3 months to keep everything on the straight and narrow and to keep the sport going through COVID when nothing else was happening.
It's phenomenal. I mean, splitting up the jockeys, they had that one minor scare that was because a jockey had been in Sydney.
Yep.
They just keep going like life is as rosy as it is. It's not a, you don't hear boo out of the training ranks, do you? Oh no, this is hard. They've embraced it and done a wonderful job.
They have. It's just incredible. And I don't think they get, I'm with Whitey and Huff, I don't think they get the credit that that they deserve. Now, the numbers yesterday in Victoria, 75 cases.
That's a tad high.
It was large, and we've been told to expect larger today, which is
if we get three figures, oh my. They're going to have to...
I reckon they might.
Are the restrictions going to be in hot spots?
Yeah, well, hot spots. They're also talking...
Which is Rama's house.
Well, around Rama. He's building a wall, apparently. He's gone Trump style on us. He's going to build a wall around his house so no one can get in, no one can get out. And so that's one big announcement. But the other big announcement is that we're investing a lot into cyber criminals. And it's my understanding, Scott, that they tried to get to you.
No, I'm currently going through a cyber criminal episode.
Wow, what's happened?
Well, Nick Smart, my man at the Herald Sun, I got an email. He sent it to a group email to all of us, said, oh, I got hacked, and it took me weeks for Twitter to figure it out, and it's a slow process, be very careful. And then on the drive, I was checking the news, and I get this, we've noticed an attempt to log in.
Oh, no.
Seems suspicious. Was this you? Naturally, I forget my password, so this is going to be a... If I seem distracted in the next couple of hours, I'll try to come up with my many versions of the same password. I'm not that active, so I don't know what they were going to try and achieve on my Twitter.
What have you got hidden in there?
Yeah, that's a good point. What is it? Direct messages? I might have to check a few of them. A few photos that are floating in there. This could be a controversial morning.
I'll tell you what, it's becoming commonplace. I know there's been a few big companies that have been hacked by state-based actors, as ScoMo likes to call them.
No, be on high alert, people.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So watch out. So overall, yesterday, you came out, you drove home, fixture changed, we're all set. Are you happy with how everything's progressing now? We're on the straight and narrow in the AFL world?
Oh, well, you know, it took a bit of the gloss off the game's ending, as we know, so we had something else to talk about. But, so we had a combination of changing rounds and now Rocket Eat, our man, who we'll be talking to.
Yes, very interested to talk to Rocket.
He's got some interesting ideas on the state of the game, so... Oh, it's just a normal Monday in AFL land, isn't it?
This could be, well, it could be commonplace. Every Monday we have the fixture announcement as to what's going to happen for the next week, because it can change every moment of every day. What about Connor McKenna?
Yeah, he's all good.
He might be back on Friday.
He had his 1 week suspension, which they sort of didn't really tell us about it.
No, that was odd.
And then, he's clear to go.
So he got suspended for...
going to visit his host family, which was outside the guidelines.
Yes.
Like, I think they said he should have, if he may have told the Bombers and got it ticked off, it might have been okay.
Yep.
That was the reason for the suspension. Well, I mean, you know, Pickett and the young guys from Melbourne, I mean, we understand that's fair enough, but he's been cleared, all his tests are good, game on. And he'll probably play. I mean, Zach Merritt's out.
He's missed 300 days of footy, and he's been inside for 10 days. Would you play him?
Leg speed, why not? Bit of fun.
I'll tell you what, they didn't show much leg speed on Saturday night, Essendon. They were pretty happy with kicking it, you know, side to side, around, around.
So who
circle
they play?
They're
Collingwood still?
Yeah, Collingwood still. So that's in the revamped schedule. So that luckily still stays the same. So the games, in case you missed it yesterday, the games that have been postponed, West Coast v Richmond is off. That'll be played later in the year. Carlton and St Kilda was moved from Saturday night at the MCG to Thursday night at Marvel. And then the replacement games, Richmond will play Melbourne and West Coast will play Sydney. So that's why, that's the Queensland restrictions that have been brought in.
It's funny, I did Richmond on Saturday and Damien Hardwick was like, oh, it's good to get on the road, short break, you know, this connectivity that's the key to this group. We've missed bonding together. They can't wait to get on the plane. And I was like, oh, okay. We're just going to go to the MCG again and try and resurrect our seat, which, well, Melbourne's a nice opponent.
Would you be comfortable in packing up your family and heading to a hub for an indefinite amount of time?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you're a professional sportsman. It's an unusual year. I think you've got to have a very... I won't go use all those words again, but I mean, footballers have been, they've known for, you know, 3 months or whatever. This is unusual times. You're going to be asked to do unusual things. Your family, I don't want to say you get paid a lot of money, but you do. This is your livelihood.
Yeah, you do.
People in other professions have been asked to not go in or not work or work in different ways. This is just a different way you're earning your income. And your family. Yeah, of course, young kids or just recently. I mean, there's going to be curveballs, but players aren't going to be away for more than a month. The AFL's not going to stick a club somewhere for more than a month. They'll fly them in, fly them out. They'll throw a bye in here. You'll have split rounds coming up where some teams have a rest because they're in quarantine. Like, that will happen.
Yeah.
So I think families can adjust.
Do you think it risks... So one of the great things about the continuity of a season is the storylines, the narratives, the new challenges every week. What is going to happen with the storylines of this season? Because I feel like they're going to be so all over the place that people almost get lost. It's like trying to follow the English Premier League sometimes when there's catch-up games because someone's in an FA Cup and then they're not playing midweek, but then they've got to play in Europe and you just try and turn on the TV and go, where the hell's my team playing?
Yes, I think there'll be a bit of that. And I think for some teams... the toys might get thrown out the cop a bit earlier. Oh, this is all too hard. We're not going well. Shorter season. Are we going to make the eight? Maybe not. There'll be a little bit of that.
Yeah.
But I think once we get eventually to October or November, it'll be pretty exciting when you've got finally an eight. And by then, touch wood, Corona's vaguely under control. I think the winner of this season will get more plaudits than before, really.
Yeah.
Because I mean, they would have had to endure all sorts of mayhem, and hopefully by grand final time, I'd like it to be in Perth, it'd be a bit different in front of 60,000 people. But no, I think it's the storylines. Yeah, I get it. I think the punters can be agile as well.
It's the new word.
It is. I'm going to use it a lot today.
Gil's been using it a lot.
Pivot, agile.
Pivoting and agile, and the new normal. That's the other one you've got
to
tick off.
I'm going with today.
Carlton and St Kilda will kick off the round on Thursday. This has been moved to Marvel from the MCG. Friday, we'll see Collingwood and Essendon at the MCG. Saturday, aware there's a few changes, 1:45 p.m. West Coast will host Sydney. That's at Metricon in Queensland because us Victorians aren't allowed to head to Queensland, but Sydney are. Geelong facing the Gold Coast Suns at GMHBA. That stays the same in Gary Ablett's 350th and Joel Selwood's 300th. The Western Bulldogs play North Melbourne at Marvel on Saturday night in Brisbane, face Port Adelaide. Three games on Sunday. Adelaide v Freo at Metricon. Melbourne v Richmond at the MCG. And GWS facing Hawthorn in that 6:10 p.m. slot on Sunday at Giants Stadium.
So round 6 and 7... were released. They haven't been tinkered with yet, have they?
No, I reckon that'll happen in either the coming couple of days with more government announcements. We'll have to wait to see what happens, especially on a Victorian front as well. Like, if Victoria all of a sudden are going at 200 cases a day, then there's serious concerns that we might all head back into lockdown. So they might, as was suggested yesterday from a number of channels, they might actually just shift all the teams away from Melbourne.
Because
get out of here.
Round 6 at the moment has like Melbourne going to Gold Coast. Well, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
They've got the Gold Coast staying back to the MCG. Does that mean they're staying here? There's a suggestion they might instead go to Sydney and hang out for a couple of weeks and play those two teams.
Yep. The Sydney hub looks like that's something that'll probably happen. So you'll see, because you might see six teams at once head into a hub.
Well, they've got Olympic Park. Like out in Homebush, they've got the hotels that no one stays in other than if you have to go to an event because it's a horrible part of the world. They've got plenty of training venues in that hub. So it's already set up. I mean, it's not a golf course like the Gold Coast. That would be far better. But Sydney's ready to go. So that makes sense.
Yeah. And the poor old Melbourne Storm.
Well, they just,
they're not back for a long
time.
They
just roll with it. See, talk about agile and pivoting. Well, where were they? They were in Albury at the start of the year for a couple of weeks.
For 2 days.
2 days.
Where they were finally allowed to play on someone's ground. Someone had let them train. And then they came back here. They've played a couple of games here. Had to move to Sydney a couple of weeks ago. They've played two games in Sydney. Now they're off to Queensland.
Yeah. For life.
For life. They're going to have to stay there for a long time. Their sister team in the netball competition is the Sunshine Coast Lightning. So, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that,
and their reserves team plays up there, obviously, in the second tier.
30 kids.
Are going with them?
Yep, in the hub.
30?
30 kids.
Jeez, the rugby boys are
Some big prolific Islander families. And having grown up with a lot of friends who are Islanders, they have huge families.
How much fun would that be if you're a young kid?
Oh, for a young kid, it'd be awesome. We're off to...
You don't have to go to school.
No.
And you come up here and hang out. Well, Dad just trains every day.
And then have a run around yourself on the park afterwards. How good would that be?
It's 25 degrees. Yeah, no, that's a win.
We'll ask Dave Donaghy about that. He will join us before 8 o'clock this morning, the Melbourne Storm CEO. I don't know if he's heading up himself. We'll have to ask him. Nimble is another one that has come off the SMS. Another word you've got to use during this time. Flexible, nimble, pivot,
I like
new
that.
Normal. Be interesting to hear what Ryan Brokhop got up to in his isolation. He's just joined the 76ers. He's going to play alongside Ben Simmons in the NBA, and he joins us on this Tuesday morning. Ryan, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on, and congratulations on the contract with the 76ers. First of all, before we get to how it all happened, what did you get up to in isolation over in the US? Because you were waived by the Mavs back in February. What have you been up to since then?
Not much, to be honest. After the Mavs let me go, I was looking around for another team and got pretty close to signing with another team in Europe, and then the Corona stuff happened and everything just shut down. And I guess it was kind of lucky I didn't leave, my states and the family. It may have been pretty difficult to get back in, but just been spending a lot of time with my son and with my wife, and trying to work out a little bit and stay in the best shape I can for when and if the NBA season was to restart.
What have the lockdown restrictions been like for you over in the US, and especially being an elite athlete, obviously trying to get as fit as possible? How hard's that been?
It's required some unique training methods. That's for sure. In Dallas, everything shut down for a couple of months. Couldn't get into any gyms. Couldn't get on a court anywhere. Bought myself sort of like a hoop to put in the driveway. A few little weights that I could find. Everything. As far as weights got sold out really quickly as well, so I was kind of just scrambling to grab whatever I could and find ways to work out and to stay in shape and to get some shots up whenever I could.
Brian, things got pretty scary here regarding the virus, but compared to what it looks like over in the States, was it virtually you could barely leave your house there for a little while?
Yeah, there was I guess quite a long period where the only time we left the house was to go to the grocery store and grab supplies. My wife has an autoimmune disease, so we had to be a little bit careful as well. And the cases in Dallas, there's been a lot of positive cases and unfortunately a lot of deaths from the virus. So, there was quite a long period where we rarely left the house. We might have, gone for a little bit of a walk around where we lived, but apart from going to the grocery store, there was nothing that we were really doing.
And just with, before we get on to the great news about the 76ers, did the Mavs decision come as a bit of a surprise? Because I think my memory, you started a couple of games right near before it happened, didn't you?
Yeah, it was a little bit of a surprise, and I guess it's kind of nature of the business over here. And you know, they were looking for a player to kind of shore up a few things, you know, defensively. I guess going into the playoffs and you know, being still fairly new to the NBA and having a small contract, it was easier for them to waive me than to waive one of the guys that have been there a while. So, unfortunately, yeah, I was the one who got the axe, but, you know, I enjoyed my time there and thankful for the Mavs for giving me my first opportunity over here.
And with the process from then on, so you get waived by the Mavs in February and you're sort of dealing with the COVID virus as well, and lockdown and trying to work out at home and all that sort of stuff. What happens from then on? Is it you putting a few feelers out to old contacts? Does your agent do everything and you just leave it to him? How does that process work?
It's more so on the agent, so he'll speak to teams and teams will, you know, get in contact with him and just sort of express interest and, you know, yeah, definitely put the feelers back out both over here in the States and over in Europe, you know, where I was previously playing. So it was just sort of trying to find the best opportunities for me going forward after Mavs got rid of me.
And how close did you get to actually signing in Europe?
Just I think in February I basically had my bags packed and was ready to leave.
Wow.
Looking at getting to visas and then going through that process. And the European season, you know, they had their sort of cutoff date right around the same time I was waived for, you know, the last chance for them to bring in a new player. So it was all kind of very last minute and a little bit rush, and unfortunately the deal sort of fell through at the last minute, but yeah, I guess we got pretty close.
Have you been to Disneyland or Disney World? Because you're going to spend some time there in a month or so.
Yeah, I haven't been to World. I think I went to Disneyland. I think we did a basketball trip in 2005 with my Frankston team, so I've been to Land, but I haven't been to World, and it's going to be an interesting environment being stuck in this bubble for potentially up to, you know, 3 months.
What is the difference between Disney World and Disneyland?
Oh, I've been there.
What is the difference?
Well, Disney World, there's about 25 parks on this massive, and Disneyland's this one.
There you go.
Yeah, so I'm all over it. Now, right, when do you hook up with the 76ers, and what do you know about this hub that you're going to go into? Are you just all in one hotel, and what sort of can you do and can't do?
So I got to Philadelphia yesterday just to come over here and make sure, you know, go through the physical testing that they need me to pass, to make sure that I'm fit and healthy, as well as begin COVID testing to make sure that, you know, I don't have the virus, and if I am, you know, to make sure to quarantine and everything before heading to Orlando. They're trying to keep Orlando as, you know, as safe as possible. But yeah, it's basically we're on this resort for, you know, 6 weeks to 3 months, and there's a few hotels that the teams will be staying at, but it's kind of, you're there to play basketball and you can go watch some of the other games. You can, whatever the hotels have to offer or the facilities on there. And they're trying to organize things to keep the players and the staff entertained off the court, you know, with like video games, and they have movies playing and things like that, just to help the guys, you know, who are going to be away and sort of isolated for such a long time.
How's the intro, Scotty?
This is... I haven't experienced this before.
The three-question quiz. That's because it's the first time it's ever happened, because we had to launch the legal action against Whitey and Half yesterday, who would not allow us to run the 7-question quiz.
Do I get the answer? Or
so we've stolen the bataki. Sorry?
Do I get to play the listeners?
No, you are ineligible, unfortunately. So jump on the line, 1-300-652-927, 1-300-652-927. You must call early, because there's only 3 questions. Not Whitey's, where you just wait for everyone to fall over and then call the end and try and win the voucher at the end. You've got to call early. There's
You're
only
not even
3 questions.
Me with the questions or answers.
Well, no. They aren't the toughest of questions either. So it's going to be wham, bam, thank you, ma'am this morning. How's the musical arrangement here? This actually sounds like Disneyland or something like that.
We've spent a lot of time on this.
Absolutely. All right. We'll hopefully get a few calls up and then we'll get stuck straight into the question. Let's head to Tyler in Shepparton, who's opening the batting this morning. Tyler, good morning.
Good morning, lads. How are we?
We're very well. Scotty, it's Adventure Park in
Geelong. That's it. Yes, I apologise. I've been there 100 times.
Tyler, any...
It's a bit early in the morning.
Shepparton Way, is there any amusement parks or anything like that on the way to Shep?
Oh, there actually is in Shepparton. There's a place called Kidstown. Yeah, in between Maroochydore and Shep. It's actually not a bad little joint. It's not a ride thing, but yeah, there's big swings and stuff like that.
There you go. Take the kids next time for everyone around Shep. Magnificent. Rightio, Matt Rowell. Won 10 coaches' votes. He's been awarded 10 coaches' votes in the last 3 games, 3 in a row. There was one player to do that in 2012. He was the last player to do so.
This is a tough question.
Who was it?
Boy, I've got no idea. Look, I'm just going to take a punt. Chris Judd.
Unlucky.
2012. Three in a row.
Think of who won the flag that year.
Geelong was
and
the year
some
before.
Of their some Anyone? Of their better players.
Was it a Hawthorn hadn't started then? How's my memory going? Was it an interstate team?
Yes.
Sydney, West Coast, someone like that.
Sydney. Just think about.
Well, don't give it away.
Think about their better players.
Don't
All right, let's go to
Leroy.
Big Dog is Big Dog. Up early today. Big Dog from Cranbrook. Good morning to you, Big Dog. Leviathan owner now, of course. Matt Rowell won 10 coaches' votes in the last 3 rounds. Who was the last player to do that? A Swan.
Swan. All right, we'll go with Michael O'Loughlin.
Michael O'Loughlin, come on, Big Dog.
He wouldn't have got
one. Right.
I think it's probably a midfield. I'm just going out on a limb here.
I enjoy Leroy's work. He represents the whole of Tasmania. He's joined us. Leroy, good morning.
Oh, mate, I'm agile this morning.
Magnificent. Your agility, can it reap some rewards here with the answer to the last player to get 10 coaches' votes 3 weeks in a row?
2012. Look, I'm thinking either Jay Kennedy or Jay McVeigh, one of those types. You've given me a good lead in, so I'll go Jay Kennedy.
Yes. Well done, Leroy. Well played. Right, question number 2. We spoke about Ryan Ruffles yesterday. Unfortunately, didn't have the best last round on the Corn Ferry Tour, which is the secondary tour underneath the PGA Tour. But he did enjoy a good first 3 rounds. He finished in about 29th, but he was tied for third. So he's one of the young stars of Australian golf.
You're going to ask Leroy who won that tournament.
Don't worry about that. Question. That is not the question. His father, Ray, represented Australia in which sport?
Tennis.
Magnificent, Leroy. And here we go. This is for the Bataki ham this morning, of course. Magnificent Bataki. Which former Liverpool player has resigned from his position as the coach of the Brisbane Roar?
Robbie Fowler, you blokes are too easy.
Leroy. I started hard and got easier and easier. Yes. So Leroy has come in and well played, Leroy. Welcome back, Rodney Ead, to the Breakfast Club. In 2020, we had a bit of a false start there, Rocket, with round one, but great to welcome you back. You said, I'm not coming back till I'm making back page headlines in the Herald Sun, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Good morning, Rocket.
Morning, Andrew. How are you, mate? All right. And Scotty, how are you, buddy?
We're going very well, but I was fascinated last night turning on my computer at about 8:30 to read what you had to say in the Herald Sun. First of all, before we get into a couple of the proposed changes that you spoke about with Mark Robinson, what did you make, or what have you made of footy since its return as a spectator?
I think below average. Then, there's been some good games. I think the I think the Collingwood on the weekend, the Collingwood Giants game was a good game. Obviously, crowds not being there has had an effect. I think the players too. I don't think the games was good, and this is the players' defence. I don't think they've had enough training, and even the training during the week, they can only do one contact session, and that's probably now in groups of 9 and 10. So I don't think they're getting. I think the players will improve. I think the skills will improve as we go along. But generally, I think culminated on Sunday's games where it's not a great spectacle, was it? It's a bit of congestion, which has been the case for quite a while. But I think the coach is driving the slow play and keep the ball off the opposition. It's not a great spectacle. I think with everyone watching on TV, there's a bit of noise around at the moment, obviously.
Rocket, explain to me, I'm intrigued on Geelong. So why did they feel the need to decide to play keepings off against the Melbourne team that, let's be honest, aren't exactly flying? Geelong are a good offensive team. I know you don't want to shoot out, but surely your mindset doesn't have to be that negative to get a win against Melbourne.
No, it's a good point, Scotty. If you go back, I know round one was such a long time ago, but round one generally was a pretty good round. And I think Geelong, in point, lost to the Giants, but they really kept on trying to score. I think they lost by 20-odd points, but it was a really good game, and Geelong played really well. Then the next round two, which obviously some weeks later, that there's a bit of a shootout against Hawthorn. Hawthorn, just another point in argument, tried to take the game on, made a lot of mistakes. Geelong won that and played really well. Geelong against Carlton obviously didn't turn up. It was an attitudinal thing. I think they thought they were just going to win, which I know as a coach sometimes you prepare against, and I think Chris Scott before the game, you can see he's quite animated on the ground about he could feel something. That's the way I interpret it, and they lost. Then they go to play Melbourne, Scotty, is they can't afford to lose that. If they lose that, it's their 1-3.
Yeah.
So to me, it was like, oh, no, it's back to not worry about the way we play as such. It's about getting a result. And I think they went into conservative mode. They went into risk-free. We can't afford to lose. So I think they were paralysed by that a bit, to be honest. And it seemed like, okay, let's not make mistakes. Where I agree with you, if they'd taken the other attack that they did in round one and two, I reckon they would have won easily. So, but I think it's a state of mind. You use the word mindset. I think it was the mindset about, okay, let's take no risks.
So why don't coaches get into that mindset? Because I think we all agree on Geelong on Sunday, they would have won by a lot if they'd been able to attack for at least half the game. And it's the same, I think, with North Melbourne. They proved on Sunday night against Hawthorn that if they'd played a more attacking brand of football for the entirety of the game, they might have been able to match it or at least be closer to Hawthorn by the end of things. Why do coaches have this mindset that they, even though that they may know attack is the way forward or the way to beat this team, they're so conservative in their thinking? Where does that come from?
Oh, I think it's the error. It's they'd rather save a goal than kick a goal. That's the general mindset is that. And I reckon a good example too is the Giants. I mean, they took the game on against Geelong. Then in round two when they play North Melbourne, they go real conservative. Every time the Giants go conservative, kick mark, they open themselves up to lose the game or they do lose. And against Collingwood, they took the game on a bit more. But the previous 2 weeks, they play conservative. And people, and really, it's not the right word, but respect at the moment the way Port are playing. They're taking the game on. They're playing aggressive footy. And they're a point in question a few years ago when they lost that preliminary, 7 or 8 years ago, lost that preliminary final to Collingwood. But the whole season they took the game on. They lost on the back of making a couple of errors. The next year they played really conservative. In other words, we'll eliminate our errors, we'll defend more, we'll defend better. But as the great John Kennedy said, and it's still taking my mind when I first started Hawthorn, said, you've got to spend a bit to make a bit. So to actually get some goals and you've got to invest, so you've got to prepare to take some risks and there'll be some errors. But once errors occur or they lose a game teams, it's like, okay, let's shut down. We can't afford to do that again. And I think you've got to ride it with it to be able to do that. But that's their mindset, unfortunately.
So, Rocket, starting positions.
Yes.
I'm going to start our conversation by saying I'm not a fan, but explain how this would help us.
And certainly, I'm open for discussion. I'm not saying it's the be-all and end-all either. So please, if what you don't like about it, offer that. To me, there's two levers at the moment that cause slow play. One is congestion, when numbers are around the ball, and two is, which is coach-driven, and the second one is coaches instructing their team to kick mark, go slow, go sideways. As Matthew Scarlett said last year, we are defending now with the ball in hand. You always defend without the ball. Now we're defending with the ball in hand. So they're like Hawthorn, chip it across. Then we set up our the structure and system and game plan. They're the buzzwords. We're set up, so therefore if we turn it over, we don't get scored against. So that's the thing. My thing is, with the numbers around the ball, starting points... And you won't notice a real aesthetically. There's no more lines. It's only a starting point. At every stop, it's kicking. Because at the moment, kicking, the defenders come up and you've got 18 players nearly in half a ground. Very hard to get through. Maybe a bit over half a ground. At every stop, it's kicking, ball up, boundary throw in. Centre bounce is taking care of itself at the moment anyway. We're 6-6-6. But have at least three. I've got an arbitrary number three. It may be four people. Have three players from each team start inside both 50s. Now, after the ball's come into play, they can go where they like. So, plus play normally. So, it's just a starting point. So, what you're doing, so if there's a ball up or a boundary throw in a one forward pocket at one end of the ground, the forwards up the other end are generally, at the moment, are 40 metres from the ball. So, we've got everybody, people say half the ground, but probably in a quarter of the ground. So you're taking six players out, I've got to go the other end of the ground. So it's a long distance and you're probably going to have another three or four players halfway between that as a conduit if you win the footy. So you're actually taking the numbers away from the contest. I reckon the other lever to pull is just, don't go silly, make it 40, but just make the bit of change of, say, 70. So you're less likely, say if it's Tom Lynch or Tom Hawkins, he's going to stay inside 50. They're not going to go up, then they're going to run back, then they're going to go up. So they're for the fatigue level. So therefore, you're more likely to have some positional play, the old one-on-one, more chance of a full forward stay inside 50. It doesn't have to be the full forward. It can be a Cyril Rioli type. It can be a small, whatever tactics the team wants to use. But it's more about getting numbers away from the footy, less congestion, more chance of positional play, and more chance of using the whole ground.
So if they're loitering on the wing and the ball goes out of bounds in the forward pocket, they've got to sprint back like Usain Bolt, dive over the 50 to avoid a free kick?
No, I don't. Yeah, I think a free kick, yes. I'll get to that. Oh, no doubt a free kick. It's like the deliberate point. People up in arms about free kicks. So we don't see any more anymore.
Yeah.
Players adjust. But the other thing I'd do too is I'd throw the ball in quicker.
Oh, no doubt.
I'd get the boundary umpire to come in 5 metres because it's always short. And I wouldn't have nominated Ruckman. So therefore, and give it 5 seconds. And to be honest, Scotty, from a wing to inside 50 in 5 seconds, it's only a jog.
Yeah.
They don't have to sprint. So you're not going to get mad. At the moment, there's as a ball up or boundary throw on the half-forward flank, you'll see players run out of that anyway because they've got to get back to their position 40 metres away. So all you're doing is taking that a bit further away. So you won't see the mad rush. And if they don't get back, pay a free kick where the ball is. And I'm telling you, coaches hate free kicks more than anything. They hate free kicks against. They will not, and it might be a free kick or two in the first week or two, and people are up in arms. But after that, players will adjust, coaches will adjust. There'll be no free kicks, and you'll have a spread of players across the ground.
How hard would it be, Rocket, to adjudicate for the umpires, or would you give that responsibility to maybe someone else looking from ground level?
No, the umpires. Well, there's three umpires. There's one in the contest. He doesn't have to be inside 50 either. He's 40 metres off the contest. He can just easily look back, and there's three of each team. If there's not one, and then you give him 5 seconds, or if he's making a really good attempt to get back, okay, you allow that. But you don't get too pedantic about it. But if they're deliberately doing it, or there's one not, it'll be easy for the umpire to see, blow a whistle, play a free kick. They won't do it again.
I think one thing's clear. The 6-6-6 rule, I don't think has worked. I think it works in the last minute of a game, and that's it. But even in those circumstances, so I was lucky enough to be down at Geelong for that Carlton Geelong game.
It hasn't worked, Scott. Look, it, sorry, go on.
Well, I was going to say, in Geelong, you saw Levi Casbolt in that last stoppage. He starts at the back point of the square. Now, the ball bounce, it takes a second to go into the air when it's bounced in the middle. As it's bounced, the ruckman are tapping it. He's already inside defensive 50, sprinting 10 metres.
Yeah, that's right.
So it hasn't worked at all.
So the six, and the scoring last year was the lowest it's ever been, and goals from centre bounce were less than the year before. So what teams have done over the pre-season, and the same with the kick-in, they worked out how they could defend it rather than how they could gain an advantage out of it. But the 6-6-6, Scotty, is just a point in time, and you watch it, then the players run from the forward line, they run down back straight away anyway.
Yeah.
So it's... all that's stopped is probably the seventh at a centre bounce, have a spare, have a loosened defence, but it's only just a point in time for 2 seconds.
The only time I've seen it work is a quick centre bounce in a close game and, yeah, the six is set up.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the only time.
Yeah.
The easiest one to implement out of these changes, which you're for, I think everyone is the kick backwards rocket. Just, that's play on. That should...
No, I'm not for that. I'm not for that.
You want kick backwards, Mark, we're all good.
Can I run a couple of things by you?
Yes.
What would the coaches do? So what they would do, though, the team that's defending, so their forwards, would actually come off further, encourage them to kick, and then try and put pressure on. The other thing I ask, what happens in the forward 50? You go down the other end, taking it, and we've got a mark inside forward 50. The opposition have flooded it. And what they do at the moment, I'm a bit too far out, I'll kick it backwards and go basketball around the arc. So there, is that play on? That's unfair on the forward team.
Maybe it's only in defensive 50. I'm making rules
exactly
on the run
so
here.
Now there's a there's a consequence of this round. So what I would do, I would make the pass has to be 25 metres and not 15.
Yeah. What about Clarko Clarko and the tackling. Yeah. I mean, are you seeing what he's seeing?
I think that's a point.
Yep.
Yeah, I think I laughed a bit because he said, "Oh, the coaches aren't doing this." I mean, the coaches have got the main wand or the main lever of why the game's like his game, his team were just kicking it. So he slowed the game down, but he's deflecting a little bit. But I think he's got a point. I think we can be tougher on the tackler. On the bloke with the footy. So I don't know what the arbitrary number is. Give him 1 second, maximum 2 seconds. So if they make one step, they've had a time. The team possession, the team handball, I agree with that. But I still think we can't discourage the player going for the ball. So if a Dangerfield puts his head over it, or Selwood win it and tackle straight away, that can't be holding the ball because they've made the play. I reckon you've got to give them... I reckon we'd be tougher on it. I reckon we pay hold the one unless they get rid of it correctly. I reckon... And that will open it up as well, to a degree. I don't think it'll open up totally, what Alistair's saying, because they can still kick mark, they can still get numbers around the ball, and you'll probably end up having players handball on the ground so it forces the ball up. So I think players will adapt another way and make another way of forcing the ball up.
To Princes Park, where Brad Lloyd is the head of football at Carlton. He joins us on this Tuesday morning. Brad, good morning and welcome to RSN.
Yeah, good morning.
How's your last couple of days been? We were talking about the whiteboard in Travis Old's office. Must be pretty big. How's your whiteboard in your office? And when did you first get the call from AFL House that your game was potentially on the move?
Yeah, the whiteboard certainly changed a bit. I got the call on Sunday night from the CEO, called myself. And we had a conference call with David Teague and Andrew Russell, our high performance director, and Kane, and said that it could be an option, and discussed that sort of about 10 o'clock Sunday night, and by 8:30 yesterday morning we'd spoken to our leadership group that said, told them it could be an option, and by sort of probably about 9:45 I think we'd told the whole playing list that the game had changed. So fair bit of movement throughout the overnight.
So the players would have driven to work on Monday morning. They would have had Sunday off, I gather, Brad, just to rehab, and then thinking they've got another week or so, or 6 or 7 days, just to cruise through training. And then, 10:30 or so, like everyone else, it got officially moved?
Yeah, they had no idea. So when we told the leaders, that you could see they were, they wouldn't have been one of them that had sort of had the scoop on it. But yeah, the leaders, they were genuinely excited. Yeah, they were excited to play. They just want to play at the moment. So, I guess, shocked with the change. But as soon as sort of their minds are adjusted to when we're playing, yeah, they're ready to go. So it was really good to see that that feeling.
Do you do a bit of selling about the Thursday night lights? You know, everyone's looking at you. A bit of that sort of just to G them up a little bit?
Yeah, it's exciting for the club. I think naturally that came out in the discussion. Yeah, it's Thursday night. Yeah, sort of prime time slot. It's what we want. It's great for our members and supporters. Yeah, the club's constantly trying to connect with the members have been that good to us. So, yeah, we had those discussions, but no, it didn't take much selling. Yeah, the boys are in a good position at the moment.
But the changing of venue, in all seriousness, is an issue. I mean, MCG, you're used to it, play well there. Your fans love it, even though they can't watch. But Marvel is St Kilda, and they definitely seem to play different and better in that venue.
Yeah, I think the fact that we've sort of coming off a couple of wins, and there's a really good feel around the club at the moment. So there hasn't been any pushback on the venue. So we're really comfortable playing at Marvel. So it's one of those things. You got to win wherever you go, don't you? And I think the fact that we had the really good win on the road against Geelong. Sort of that helps with that as well. So there's been no issue with that. So we'll be ready to go.
Were you given a choice in the matter there?
No, not from that point of view. Look, Kane Little, our CEO, he had those discussions with Gil McLaughlin. But that was the venue that was worked through. So not sure of the exact conversations that those two had. But I think Marvel was the was where the AFL wanted it played, and we're comfortable doing that. Look, it's an extraordinary year, unique year. You look at other clubs have had, they're playing different opposition, let alone different at different venues. So we've got no issue with that. So we're ready to go.
In terms of the way the season's going to play out, are you now preparing yourself for a fixture announcement basically every Sunday night or Monday morning from the AFL? It's kind of hark back to the junior footy days if there was a forfeit or something like that and you had to swap teams around. Is that what you're feeling this season will shape like?
I did make that comment to the leaders at the end of the meeting yesterday, just that we need to be... that discussion hasn't been had because I think the AFL and clubs are sort of having to there's the adjustment over the last couple of days, but I think we all need to be ready for that. You just never know what's going to happen. I don't think even the Travis Auld and the Gil McLaughlin, the ones that sort of sort the fixture out, would know, because we need to just take it as the as it all comes with everything going on from a health point of view. So I think we need to be ready for that. And that's been the reason for the 16-minute quarters and the possibility to have 5-day breaks and that sort of thing. So, I think nothing would shock me this year. So, we're prepared for anything.
Because, Brad, in round 7, you're allegedly flying to the Gold Coast. That'd be unlikely the way things stand at the moment.
I've seen that. And it did cross my mind, that one. So, it's there at the moment, but we'll see how that pans out over the coming week. I find so much can happen at the moment, even the last couple of months. In a week, so much can go on in the industry because of the pandemic and all the health factors. So we'll see.
It's probably not looking like any time soon. I think that they wanted a period of 28 days once the virus has slowed.
Dale Finucane speaking there yesterday from the Queensland Hub. Looks like the Melbourne Storm will be spending a lot longer in Queensland than perhaps they had initially thought. Joining us on the line is Dave Donaghy, the Melbourne Storm CEO. Dave, good morning and welcome to RSN.
Morning, boys.
Now, are you in Queensland yourself at the moment or are you still in Melbourne?
I'm not. I'm in Melbourne. Beautiful sunny, freezing cold Melbourne, and the guys are up there in on the Sunshine Coast. So.
I know you very well, and you like getting this shirt off. This is a setback for you. This is a big setback, Donga.
I came on here, Scotty, just to as a favour for you, and I didn't think it was going to be a sledge-a-thon.
No, that's a compliment, my friend. When are you going up, or are you not, or how is it going to work?
I won't be going up. The restrictions, I'm sure you guys are familiar with those in place for the AFL, very similar, if not more onerous with our sport. And we've got 55 in our bubble of made up players and essential football staff. So, that's the group that will stay together on the Sunshine Coast now in hopefully the short term, but potentially the long term. And there's some family members already there, and hopefully some more family members will join shortly. So a little bit more work to do.
I was listening to Dale Finucane, and yes, they said they could have up to about 30 kids up there pretty quickly as well. So there's plenty of family members still to head up there as well, Dave. That's obviously a nice thing for the players to have in the Sunshine Coast.
Yeah, look, when it all happened back end of last week now, or the front end of last week, I think the infection rate last Monday in Melbourne was there were 11 new cases. And I suppose at that point, I like to think I'm an optimist, and I was hoping that we might be away for circa 2.5, maybe 3 weeks. It clearly looks like now it'd be at least 4 weeks, and it'd just be dependent on what happens down here over the next the next month. So we'll continue to assess it and review it, but certainly. We've still got a group up there that have a job to do and a jobs to perform and play good football and get the 2 points no matter where they are. So they know that's their role and as challenging as it can be, we're trying to make it as comfortable and part of those comforts are ensuring that families kept together as a big part of our football club try and create the right environment up there for them.
Worked well with the 50-6 demolition of the Warriors, so obviously the footy isn't being affected too much on the field. I wanted to ask about the hub itself. Does the Storm have to pay for that, and how much of a financial burden might it be if they're there until September or even October, worst-case scenario? How much of a burden is that going to be for the club financially?
Oh, look, it's significant, but there's an agreement in place between us and head office, and I won't go into what those are, but it's not a cheap exercise, in saying that, you don't have a lot of options. So for us, it's around working through what how we can create a safe environment, and not just for our players, but for the wider community. I think Queensland at the moment has zero positive COVID infections up there. So certainly for the wider community, you want to be doing the right thing. Of course, you've got your playing group that you've got to protect and the staff and obviously the families. Thirdly, then there's the considerations around, all right, there is a cost element to that. So how do we best structure agreements in place for the groups up there? But pleasingly, everyone up there, the hotels and the local councils that run the fields, the Queensland government in terms of hiring, what was Lake Park, they've all come to the party, it's not free, but I think there's an understanding that there's an impost put that's been placed on us, certainly everyone's been willing to work with us, which is terrific.
The mindset of the players seems to be the biggest challenge, Dong. I mean, we've seen with the Eagles in the AFL, they've struggled. The Warriors have had all sorts of issues. But your group, like its experience, obviously, with Cam Smith and others, and they've shown this flexibility for a fair while, even from the start of this season, that they can deal with this sort of thing.
I think, Scotty, when it first happened, became evident that we're going to have to pause the season, and everything was flown into a state of flux, I suppose, for all sport. Certainly for our group and myself, Craig, Frank, Panisi, our GM of footy, Cameron, we lived through the salary cap year. So, as challenging as that was, there's some learnings and lessons that we've been able to pick up from that period and to apply to the current sort of challenge that we're faced. So certainly that's probably held us in good stead, if not better stead than others. You know, it's not easy. It's almost it is a week to week proposition, and it's not day to day. So there hasn't been any downtime, that's for sure, from that period of time. But I think we've got we've got some strong leaders around the group. The environment that certainly Craig and Frank will create up there on the coast will be really important. As will the well-being and psychological support to our group whilst they're away for potentially a prolonged period of time.
Jumping inside the inner sanctum at the Western Bulldogs today, and we welcome back an old favourite who has dominated the last couple of weeks. Marcus Bontempelli, good morning to you after two wins in a row.
Good morning, gents. Thanks for having me on again.
Thank you very much for jumping on. Tell us, what was it like heading to Sydney, and what's life been like over the last couple of weeks since that GWS win?
Yeah, it was a pretty smooth travel to Sydney, which is, clearly with the current restrictions with travelling, it's obviously same-day travel as you play. So there was a couple of things we you need to adjust to that are a little bit different, but clearly the game being the priority, it was nice for us to follow up from the GWS win with another one in Sydney, and once again just play our brand and our style of football and on a more consistent level. So that was obviously the key, and to come away with the win was great. It's the last few weeks have certainly been better from obviously a form point of view. The first couple we weren't anywhere near our best, and that sort of showed on the scoreboard. So for us to be able to sort of bounce back and put two wins together now is really encouraging and great for us to be able to think about hopefully continuing the momentum.
So take us through your Thursday last week. What's the process now for an AFL player travelling on game day? And then I assume you stayed overnight because Sydney have that stupid curfew where you can't get out until the next day.
Correct. So we all just met at the airport at about, I think it was 9:15-ish. We had a 10 o'clock flight out of the Melbourne jet base, and really smooth when you compare it to probably having to go to the Melbourne airport and then obviously go through the different security measures and a few other obviously things that come with flying. This was a hell of a lot smoother and easier. So you basically get there, you're checked, and basically just waiting in the lounge till you walk virtually onto the tarmac and onto the plane, and you're pretty much off within the space of 10 or 15 sort of minutes. So it's really quick. You land and then there's a bus there waiting for you. You come straight off the bus, grab your bag, and then you're on the bus and heading to the team hotel. So we pretty much were there at about lunchtime, which meant that we had a few hours to really chill out. Some blokes would sort of eat, go for a walk, have a bit of a kip, and then start preparing for the game.
It honestly, in my head, I picture you blokes walking like your criminals are on Con Air. You know, remember that movie back in the day? Is that what it feels like? You know, you're jumping onto the private plane, you're on, you get a bus, you get ferried straight to the hotel. It must probably be a weird feeling.
It probably feels the opposite. It feels like you're a bit more of an A-lister, I reckon, than anything. It's quite smooth. You're just pretty much waiting. There's not too much sort of toing and froing. You're virtually in. You can obviously have a coffee or something at the jet base, but everything's all really well planned out. So credit to the AFL and the clubs for being able to organise it that way.
Now, Bod, I don't really want to take you back here, but I want to ask the question. Cast your mind back to after the St Kilda game. The walls are closing in, first-year captain, all that sort of stuff. What did you do different, or did you do anything different in straight after that game?
Yeah, not too much, to be honest with you. I think I had pretty good faith and belief that we'd work our way out of it. You're never too sure at that point in time how long it's going to take, but as a young, obviously, captain, there was probably everyone sort of looks to your lead a little bit, and I just try to keep things as normal and as simple as possible. And I think that's what you find when things get a little bit hairy at times in football clubs, the more simple you can keep it and the more normal you can keep things, the sooner you find yourself getting back to your best. And that was for me sort of personally and the group as a collective as well. So, you know, the belief was certainly still there. We just obviously needed to feel that we could play the way that we could again. And obviously a big challenge off the back of the St Kilda game was coming up against the Giants. So to play, you know, the style and the brand that we wanted to straight off the back of that St Kilda game was really encouraging. And then to continue it on again against Sydney was another good sign, I think.
There's nothing fake about the Giants' dogs' hatred, is there? This is legit. And I'm not just saying because you're at the centre of most of it, but it's legit.
Oh, there's definitely a strong, I think, rivalry, you'd probably call it, just because of the, over the years, the different things that have happened, the big games that we've played in. And I think we both teams probably look forward to the game each year. But, I mean, I certainly enjoy having a team, you know, from a rivalry perspective. And it just gives it, I guess, that little bit more to a game in the season.
Your bemused look when Haynes walked to the centre square that night is still one of the great images of the season, Bond.
You reckon? Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, they chose to do sort of what they did, but I didn't probably really pick up on it at the time.
You look confused.
It was maybe a milestone game or something. I was more thinking, and I said this after the game, about how I was going to address the boys off the back of the sort of coin toss. So, understanding it wasn't, you know, my call, heads or tails. So in my back of my mind, it's like, all right, how am I going to address the boys? So, I was sort of thinking of other things at the time.
At the coin toss, are you a heads man or a tails man? And do you go the same way every time?
I always probably tend to go towards the Bulldog sort of cheer squad end, I reckon. That's just probably a natural thing that's sort of always been done at Marvel. Obviously, there's no real wind to consider when the roof's closed. I probably make it up as I get. I go, well, I go heads today or tails. I actually don't have a routine. I just change it up based on how I'm feeling. So that might be a bit different.
Now, we have a new cold hero at your club, Bailey Smith. I mean, the hair just speaks for itself. But this kid is becoming something quite special quickly.
He is, and it's no surprise to any of us at the football club. He played, I think, every game in his first season last year, which is an incredible achievement at such a young age. But he's the ultimate sort of competitor and trainer, and loves to get the best out of himself. And he trains so bloody hard, which is so impressive for a young kid. And it's starting to really show in terms of how much influence he's having for us, especially at like I said, such a young age. So we've got to be careful of not relying on these young blokes too much, because they are still young, but we're getting a lot of bang for buck with his ball use and his finishing, and he's a skillful player. So he's playing a big part for us, especially the last 2 weeks.
Someone showed me his Instagram account and the rig, Bond. It's next level.
It's up there. It's up there with some of the best I've seen, mate.
For 18.
Yeah. Oh, well, he sort of walked into the football club like that, so it's not like it's developed. It was sort of like, poor, we've drafted a robot. But he's super impressive, mate, with just how he goes about his thing. So, we're getting, like I said, a lot of value and a lot out of what he's doing at the minute, football-wise.
And I joked about the hair, but does he have any explanation, or what's his aim? Is there an end game here?
I don't think so. Based on the conversations I've had with him, it's just growing, and he loves sort of the mullet, and he cuts it himself. So, plus everyone else loves it, so I think that helps to probably keeping it a lot longer, and there's a bit of fandom around it. But, it's just an element to his sort of quirky personality.
Your contested marking, this is just from a personal perspective, your contested marking on the weekend was a thing of beauty to watch, and you were courageous going back with the flight a couple of times. Is that something you've been working on over the last year or so to improve in your game?
Yeah, it's probably been something I've looked at probably for a few years, about you're always looking for different growth areas, and obviously being that little bit taller from a midfield perspective, the opportunities to get maybe down the line, and whether that's, you know, offensive and forward, or obviously back as well to help support our defence. So trying to bring it into my game has probably been something I've looked at and had different conversations with regard to. But, you know, you're just looking for opportunities to improve, obviously, and obviously hurt the opposition. So it probably came out a little bit more in that game, which is nice. But you're always looking for opportunities to test the opposition out. So it was good. It was good to obviously deliver on a couple of those.
State of the game's being debated, Bont, big time. Does it feel messier than previous for you out there?
I think there's always going to be sort of good games and bad games. And I think right now, when you consider we've had a very different sort of lead-in and build-in, probably sort of skill-wise. And from our perspective, I guess we're always trying to play, I guess, an attacking sort of brand that helps us sort of score. But there's a lot of different elements that are probably contributing to this year's season that haven't to previous. So, I mean, ultimately, you know, there's shortened games as well too. So if we're talking from a scoring perspective, we can't get as many scores maybe because the quarters are shorter. But I think the game ends up eventually finding a way. So we'll just continue to do our best to play a good brand of football.
What was your reaction yesterday when you heard of all the fixture changes for this week? Did you initially think, oh, here we go, this is what it's going to be like every week, or were you shocked by it? How did you feel?
I think a little bit. I think my mentality, and probably as a whole, and probably as a, you know, AFL wide, is you're expecting the unexpected sort of at different at any given moment. When you consider all the changes probably that have already happened, you're already half understanding that things will continue to change. So that's sort of my mindset with it all, that obviously there's going to be shifts, and sometimes big ones, sometimes small ones, but you've just got to be ready to adapt however you can.
Aaron Norton going down, Bond, it's a big loss. He was just starting to really get into his groove even in that game. Well, have you spoken to him, and is it the 4-6 we think it is?
Yeah, like you said, he was starting to really hit his straps, get into his groove for sure, especially, like you said, in that game. But I've spoken to him. It looks like 6 at this point, which is obviously a bit of a dint. Unfortunate for him, but obviously as a team as well, we're going to miss his impact and influence. So just the harsh reality of the game that we play. But as we do in football clubs, you sort of look for the opportunities for others to potentially get a go. So it'll be good to see who can step up and find an opportunity to do a bit of a job for us.
The Breakfast Club, 6 till 8:30 weekdays on RSN 927.